This is Money Talk.
I can take money and I can make it into more money.
25 years on the air with advice on money matters. Here's your host, Bob Brinker.
Coast to coast, border to border, in the islands of Hawaii and north to Alaska. It's Money Talk. Thank you for joining us. Bob Brinker here, and we do appreciate the company. We have our guest author coming up, and we'll talk more about that momentarily. Right now, I want to take a look at the week ahead because, wow, we have all kinds of things happening this week, including the big vote on Thursday in Great Britain. Not much going on Monday, with the exception of a speech, here we go again, by Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis President Neil Kashkari. Neil Kashkari will be in Washington, D.C., and he'll be talking about too big to fail. Well, we all know what that's about. Been there, done that. Janet Yellen on Tuesday and Wednesday will trek up to Capitol Hill. On Tuesday, she will speak before the Senate Banking Committee. She'll provide commentary and answer questions. On Wednesday, she'll trek back up to Capitol Hill to speak to the House Finance Services Committee and do it all over again. And then the data starts flowing, and most of it is flowing in the latter part of the week. Most of the developments are in the latter part of the week. On Wednesday, we'll get existing home sales. Now, existing home sales matter because even though new construction is not involved, of an entire home, there's all kinds of money spent when it comes to transacting in existing homes, both outside and inside the home as the new owner comes in. Existing home sales make up the lion's share of housing activity. About 90% right now is in the existing category. So the estimate is an annual rate of 5.57 million transactions. And if that number comes in, that'll be a slight increase from the prior month. And this applies to previously constructed homes, condos, and co-ops in which a sale closes during the month. And given the impact of the improvements that are made inside and outside of existing homes, it's an important part of the housing picture. And that'll be on Wednesday. Thursday, we'll get jobless claims updated. They are weekly reports, and the estimate is 270,000. Last week was 277,000. The four-week moving average is currently around 269,000. This is a very important data series. New unemployment claims are compiled weekly, and they show the number of persons filing for unemployment insurance for the first time. This figure has been healthy for a long time. It's still healthy. It's still below 300,000. And it's expected to remain healthy this week. Also Thursday, we'll get the Purchasing Managers Index manufacturing flash for the index. Now, the Purchasing Managers Manufacturing Index is mostly based on monthly surveys of companies providing an advanced indication of what's really going on in the private sector economy. And they track a lot of changes. They track variables like output, new orders, stock levels, employment, and prices. Remember, this is a manufacturing-based index, and manufacturing's been under some pressure. It's had a big headwind, namely the strong dollar and the weak global economy. So the estimate is 51. Last month was 50.5. Any reading above 50 is considered expansionary. And this one expected to be slightly above 50. Also Thursday, we'll get new home sales. New home sales matter. I mean, they're only about 10% of the total market of housing transactions. But they matter a lot because they involve a lot of input. A lot of construction money paid to those building the homes, the materials going in, I mean, it's a big deal. So even though it's only about 10% of the housing market, it's still a big deal. The estimate is an annual rate of 565,000. Last month came in really strong at 619. We would not be expecting to see that continue this month. And there has been a lack of supply that has been limiting sales of new homes. And that has been a factor as well. The estimate, 565,000 annual rate for new home sales, that'll be out on Thursday morning. And then also Thursday, we'll get the leading economic indicators estimated to go up 0.2%. That would be consistent with the slow to modest growth that we've been seeing for a long, long time. Friday, we'll get the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey, the University of Michigan Wolverine Survey, estimated at 94 last month, 94.3. Now, these surveys of consumer sentiment, they have been doing quite well. So despite all of the problems going on around the world, and there are plenty of them, consumer sentiment has been pretty good. That's probably related to the fact that the unemployment rate is now down below 5% and that we have seen substantial jobs growth over the past few years, and also has to be related to the lower energy prices, the lower gasoline prices, which put more discretionary income into the pockets of consumers, thereby making them feel better off. Just psychological, if you will, but it's also more money in your pocket to spend on other items rather than shipping them off, those dollars off to Saudi Arabia. So that's an outlook at what is coming up this week. And of course, let me also add what we've talked about. Thursday, we'll have the Brexit vote determining whether Britain stays or leaves the European Union, and we've talked about it in detail on the program today. We'll return with our guest segment. Stay with us on Money Talk.
Money Talk.
When you need spent a little too much time in the sun relief.
Yikes.
Ow, what the?
Attack of the angry mosquito relief.
Hey, watch this.
Scraped knees.
And an elbow.
Relief. You need new Goldbond Pain and Itch Relief Cream with lidocaine. Goldbond has the maximum strength lidocaine available without a prescription and starts working on contact to numb away pain and itch. New Goldbond with lidocaine. Relief starts now. Use as directed.
Honey, I'm really worried about our retirement funds.
Oh, me too. We lost so much value in the recession and the stock market. I'm worried we won't have enough to retire.
Jim next door told me that he had set up a new kind of IRA with a gold-silver group. He said how simple and safe it was. It's a private storage IRA, and we could have real gold and silver in our hands.
Really? You mean we can actually see it and touch it?
Absolutely. Jim said we could have all the benefits of an IRA to help build our retirement income. Bottom line, we would own a real tangible asset, and we would have the security of knowing we're protected no matter what the economy does. What do you think?
I think we need to find out how to get our own private storage IRA. We need to call the Gold Silver Group right now.
Are you ready to protect your future? Call 800-295-8509 now to find out how easy and safe it is to set up a private storage IRA with Gold Silver Group and find out how you can qualify for up to $700 in free silver. All transactions are privately delivered and fully insured. Please call us now. 800-295-8509. 800-295-8509.
At Walgreens, getting diabetes testing supplies with Medicare Part B is a walk in the park. Really, because getting what you need is quick and easy, giving you more time for other things. There's $0 out of pocket on all major brands like Freestyle and Walgreens True Metrics, and no extra paperwork. So managing diabetes becomes a stroll down easy street, or a trip to the movies, or even a day at the beach. Talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens at the corner of Happy and Healthy.
Zero out-of-pocket costs when billed to Medicare and full coverage supplemental insurance.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Imagine being able to throw away your contacts and glasses. Imagine waking up tomorrow with 20/20 vision. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, guess what? There's a company that agrees with you. The LASIK Vision Institute is now offering dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK to make it affordable for everyone. That means you get the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology for a fraction of what others charge. And if you call right now, we'll schedule a free appointment so you can discover if LASIK is right for you. Results may vary. Call 1-800-400-0484. Even better, if you're one of the first 100 callers, ask about an extra 20% discount off our already low-cost services. We've already performed over 1 million procedures. Let us help you. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you deserve at a fraction of what others charge. For your free appointment, call 1-800-400-0484. 1-800-400-0484.
Looking for the truth about medical and political controversies? Join Dr. Gregory A. Smith, producer of the hit film American Addict, for Truth, Medicine, and Politics every Saturday night at 9, right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Neighborhoods all over the country are on high alert. The death toll is now at 96 a day. At that rate, there will be no elephants left in 10 years. And that's a crime against us all. Stop the ivory trade. Fight the crime. Go to 96elephants.org.
Come on, smile.
Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy.
Or maybe he's teething.
Maybe it's just a phase.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No big, joyful smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
This is Money Talk.
From the beaches of Waikiki to the shores of Block Island Sound, it's America's Money Program, Money Talk. Bob Brinker along with you. Our guest in this segment is Nathan Bomey. Nathan Bomey works for USA Today as a reporter today, but during the financial crisis in Detroit, he was lead reporter on Detroit's bankruptcy for the Detroit Free Press. He's written a new book, Detroit Resurrected. To Bankruptcy and Back. Nathan Bomey, our guest. Nathan, we thank you for your time. It is great to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
After all the headlines and stories, it might come as a shock to some of our Money Talk listeners that Detroit is back. Is Detroit back?
Well, I think that Detroit has a second chance at life because during the bankruptcy of 2013 and 2014, they shed about $7 billion in debt and decided for the first time in recent memory to put the people of Detroit before the creditors of Detroit by deciding that the first responsibility of an American city is to invest in good services, to keep the people safe, to light the streets, and to provide buses for people, these basic services that Americans expect in their city. And so that's why Detroit does have a second chance. That doesn't mean that the city doesn't face tremendous challenges still, and it certainly does. But I do believe that the city has a good, optimistic outlook now going forward.
Nathan, in your book, Detroit Resurrected, which certainly is the book of record for the financial collapse in Detroit, you write about a powerful politician in Detroit by the name of Kwame Kilpatrick. And in your book, you certainly hold Mr. Kilpatrick responsible to a significant degree for what went wrong with the finances of Detroit. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. You know, Kwame Kilpatrick, many people know as having been the perpetrator of a lot of corruption in Detroit, and that's certainly the case. He was charged and indicted and eventually convicted in a racketeering scheme, now is in prison for 30 years. For his responsibilities as the mayor of city of Detroit. But it's actually the financial mistakes that he made that in many ways were out in the open and known to everybody that ended up driving Detroit into bankruptcy. And this is there's one example I'll give you that is really just an unbelievable mistake that the city of Detroit made that actually in some ways mirrors the type of mistakes that personal investors make sometimes, which is they put the bills of the city of Detroit on the credit card. What they did was a very creative $1.4 billion debt deal that essentially borrowed to pay the pensions of the city of Detroit. And, you know, Wall Street was an enabler here. They provided the money. They were very eager to do so. And so there was complicity on all sides. And this eventually came back to bite the city of Detroit and helped drive them into insolvency and trigger the bankruptcy in 2013.
Now, Nathan, there are various stakeholders who are at grave risk in a situation where the finances melt down, as they did in Detroit. The stakeholders I speak of in particular, well, I'll go one by one. The pension stakeholders How did the pension stakeholders come out of this deal?
Ultimately, this is a good question, because when the bankruptcy of the city of Detroit started, there was fears of pension cuts up in the neighborhood of 50%, because the city was so broke that they couldn't make their payments in full anymore. And what ultimately happened was a real collaborative solution that involved nonprofit foundations in the state of Michigan and others collaborating to help basically ease the pension cuts in Detroit that were a result of the financial crisis. And so most pensioners in Detroit got cuts of anywhere from 1% to 5%. There were a few who got much higher, 20% as the maximum, to be blamed for some annuity bonuses that were distributed and ultimately clawed back. But the bottom line is most pensioners only got 1% to 5% cut. And ultimately, from a percentage basis, they actually got a much better deal than investors. And that was a very big surprise to bond investors who did not expect to see their municipal debt treated this way.
I'm going to get to the bond investors in a moment, but 1% to 5% with a few at 20%, I'll tell you, that sounds pretty mild considering the fact that a lot of these pensions were negotiated on a one-way street where there really was no one on the other side of the table speaking for the taxpayers of Detroit. How did they get off so easily?
Well, I think it's a great question, and you're absolutely right that for many years, the leaders of the city of Detroit and the pension leaders were sort of in the same boat, and they were all driving toward one goal, which was to basically line the pockets of the unions. And so, you know, that's really not a matter of dispute, not an ideological statement, that for years, the city of Detroit paid pensioners more than it could afford. And I make the case in the book that, you know, politicians have a responsibility to tell their citizens that they cannot afford certain benefits and they must scale them back. Now, you don't see that happening in most cities in America. In Detroit, you know, ultimately, people who are, you know, vulnerable retirees paid the price and did get these pension cuts, albeit smaller than was originally expected, because their pensions were basically promised to them for years. These were promises the city couldn't keep. And you're right, absolutely, their cuts were smaller than expected, though. And that's because, and primarily because, they basically got what amounts to a partial bailout that was a result of nonprofit foundations who felt in their heart they wanted to protect some of the retirees who were most vulnerable. So, you know, that's a good thing. Nobody wants to see a retiree get hurt. But ultimately, I'm concerned that if this happens again in future cities, there will not be this kind of help for a lot of retirees. And so the question is how to keep these types of pensions in check so that they're manageable and cities can afford them and prevent this kind of crisis in the future.
Well, one good way to do that would be to get rid of public sector unions. I mean, you know, on this particular point, FDR, decades ago, was way out front. He said no to public sector unions because they don't work for the reasons you just discussed and the reasons that I agree with. And a lot of states don't allow public sector unions. But, of course, Michigan is a state that has allowed them, and it helped contribute to this tremendous mess with the pensions in Detroit. It seems to me that the problem with public sector unions, and I clarify that I'm talking only about public sector unions, the problem is you go to the negotiating table with somebody that has to live in the community, that somebody has to, in some cases, depend on you for your services, firefighters, police, whatever. In other words, it's a one-way street. There's nobody negotiating for the taxpayer. At least that's my view on this, Nathan.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that Detroit is sort of the harbinger of what can happen. It's the red, you know, warning sign of what can happen when those costs get out of control. And the point is that union leaders, just like politicians, have a responsibility to negotiate benefits that cities can afford. Because if you don't negotiate benefits that cities can afford, for example, look at the city of Chicago with the massive pension deficit they're facing. What happens is eventually someone's going to get hurt. And my point in the book is one of the key lessons of Detroit is that someday the bill will come due for the promises that we make, either as a country with regard to, say, the national debt or the Social Security and Medicare deficits we have, or in our cities, our towns and counties that are making these promises to, you know, small-time pensioners who don't have a big check, but ultimately it might be more than we can afford. And that's really a lesson. Detroit might be the extreme case, but certainly is an example of what can happen when the finances get out of control.
And the other part of that is, and nobody ever discusses this. We've mentioned it here on the program a number of times. I never hear it anywhere, which is when you're talking about pension responsibilities to be paid by a city, for example, hey, if the taxpayers see that they're getting the shaft and eventually they're going to see it, they can relocate and there goes the taxpayer. There goes the revenue.
Yeah, in Detroit, it's interesting because the city of Detroit's population collapse actually occurred over the course of about 60 years. And during that 60-year period, the city of Detroit implemented an income tax. They raised property taxes to the legal limit. They implemented a utility tax. And they also installed a gambling tax once the casinos came along. All these taxes did not do enough to save the city of Detroit. The revenue ultimately went from about inflation-adjusted $45 billion in the 1950s to $9 billion – I'm sorry, not revenue. The property tax value went from $45 billion to $9 billion today. And that's absolutely unbelievable, stunning to see that kind of value destruction in the city of Detroit. Of course, there are many other factors that can be blamed. And, you know, certainly you can look at the racial tension, inequality that occurred in Detroit, the home foreclosures and other things that were a factor. But ultimately, high taxes was a big reason why many people left Detroit.
We also saw housing prices collapse tremendously in Detroit, as you know.
Yeah, and that was a big deal because what happened is, when the Great Recession kicked in, that was sort of the last straw for Detroit's finances because they were already in bad shape. But when that happened, then you saw values plummet. And of course, with that, property taxes go down too. And so eventually the property tax collection in Detroit sunk. And it was really the last straw because they just didn't have the kind of revenue they needed to pay their bills. They had $1 billion in annual revenue, $18 billion in debt, an 18-to-1 debt-to-income ratio, which is, you know, really, you know, Bob, enough to bankrupt most companies. And, of course, a city is different. A city cannot liquidate. And so what happens when a great American city goes broke? And in my book, you'll see that creditors go after your assets. They try to liquidate the jewels of the city, which is, in Detroit's case, the art museum, for example. So there are, you know, consequences to not doing responsible things with your money.
There certainly are. Our guest is Nathan Bomey, and his new book is Detroit Resurrected, to Bankruptcy and Back. We're going to take your calls for Nathan when we return. Here's that toll-free line to call in on, 1-800-934-2221. You can talk directly to Nathan, who was lead reporter on Detroit's bankruptcy for the Detroit Free Press, currently writes for USA Today. 1-800-934-2221. Time to call us now to speak to Nathan Bomey right here on America's
this
Money Program.
Is Money Talk.
Any Tom, Dick, or Harry can tell you that GEICO could save you money on car insurance. But since money talks, why not go straight to the source?
Hey, Harry's Money here. And the day Harry went to GEICO.com and switched his car insurance was the day I got to hang around. Finally, boys bonding, bada bing, bada boom. No wonder GEICO has 97% customer satisfaction. Personally, I give him 100, but that's just my 2 cents. That was funny.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
When you need, spends a little too much time in the sun relief.
Yikes.
Ow, what the?
Attack of the angry mosquito relief.
Hey, watch this.
Scraped knees.
And an elbow.
Relief. You need new Goldbond Pain and Itch Relief Cream with lidocaine. Goldbond has the maximum strength lidocaine available without a prescription and starts working on contact to numb away pain and itch. New Goldbond with lidocaine. Relief starts now. Use as directed.
The longer you listen, the smarter you get. Live and local, KABC.
Firefighters are working to get a handle on several wildfires burning throughout the West. A massive wildfire in New Mexico has already destroyed 24 homes south of Albuquerque and is largely uncontained. Excessive heat only making matters worse, and the National Weather Service's Nathan Foster says it's not going to ease up Monday.
In Las Vegas, temperatures probably to be the peak where we get up to 112. And out in Death Valley in eastern California, probably 124.
A Connecticut judge is set to hear arguments on Monday on whether to dismiss a lawsuit against the maker of the semi-automatic rifle that was used to kill 26 people, mostly children, at Sandy Hook Elementary School in 2012. Families are suing Remington Arms, saying the company knew its AR-15-style rifle was meant for the military and that it was too dangerous to sell to civilians. I'm Barbara Cusack.
Be honest. Will owning a bigger TV help you get ahead in life? Will another pair of shoes make you a better person? Probably not. But what if you could speak another language? If acquiring a new language excites you more than acquiring more stuff, then wait until you hear this. As part of its biggest language learning event in history, Rosetta Stone is giving away demos of its powerful language learning software absolutely free. For your free demo, call 1-800-944-6553. And Rosetta Stone has made language learning more convenient than ever. Learn on your computer or iPad, then practice on the go with your smartphone or MP3 player without ever opening a book or memorizing boring vocabulary again. Do you want more stuff, or do you want a language that will last a lifetime? After all, it's all about priorities. To try a free demo of this powerful language learning software, call 1-800-944-6553. Again, get your free demo now. 1-800-944-6553. That's 1-800-944-6553.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the sale of the year at Chamonix is finally here. It's the summer blowout sale. You've heard me rave about the amazing Genucel plant stem cell therapy for bags and puffiness under the eyes. I use it and I love it, and so should you. And now for the first time ever, you can get Chamonix's remarkable Liesence neck treatment to try absolutely risk-free. Liesence has powerful antioxidants to tighten the sensitive area of your neck, leaving your skin silky smooth. You heard me, nothing works better, and it's yours today when you order Genucel. With its immediate effects, you'll see results in 12 hours, guaranteed, or you get your money back. When you call right now, Chamonix will double your order for what? For free. It gets even better. Call now and get free express shipping. 800-663-2495. 800-663-2495. Don't wait. This crazy summer sale won't be around forever. Give them a call. 800-663-2495. 800-663-2495. That's 800-663-2495.
You can learn to DIY just about anything.
Today I'm going to teach you how to defend yourself in a court of law. It's important to wear a fancy suit. That way, if they ask for evidence, you can point to it and say, Exhibit A.
After all, some things are better left to the pros, like buying a home. Because without an expert to guide you, you could be headed for trouble.
If you're backed into a corner, throw out a few objections. Works every time.
So DIY yourself a favor and get Realtor. Head to Realtor.com/getrealtor today. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Only the Home Depot has the Weber Spirit 2-burner gas grill with gourmet barbecue system. Just $399 and just in time for Father's Day. It's one grill with infinite possibilities. Like a griddle insert to go from flipping burgers to flipping pancakes. And four other available inserts to take him where no grill has gone before. Not at this price. Every dad deserves a Weber Spirit 2-burner gas grill. Just $399 and only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid in continental U.S. only.
Say, what is this?
You know what it is.
790-790-790-790. KABC.
This is Money Talk.
Back on Money Talk. Thank you for joining us. Our guest is Nathan Bomey. His new book is Detroit Resurrected to Bankruptcy and Back. We're taking calls for Nathan at 1-800-934-2221. I guess one of the reasons, Nathan, that this situation was brought to resolution was the fact that, in the grand scheme of things, I have to tell you, we talk about some really big numbers on this broadcast, like the national debt over $19 trillion. In the grand scheme of things, $18 billion was certainly a huge problem for the city of Detroit to reconcile. But in the grand scheme of things, it was still $18 billion. That had to be a factor in the ability to bring some solution to the table.
Certainly, and that was that's certainly the case. You know, this was a big hole. But the point is, they filed for bankruptcy because they didn't want to get the hole to get any better, any worse. I'm sorry. In 2013, though, they were actually paying 40% of their budget to debt. It would have gotten to about 70% of the budget by 2020. So if they hadn't filed for bankruptcy when they did, this process, problem would have really spiraled out of control. So they had to make the tough decision in 2013 that bankruptcy was the only way to actually restoring basic services for Detroit.
Bob is on the line listening to the mighty WLS Chicago. Bob, you are on with Nathan. Go ahead.
Thanks, Bob. Nate, my complaint is, or
this question about the pension being too high for the city workers. Mr. Brinker is always complaining about it's a one-way street, and I don't believe that. The city has to agree to the arbitrator. So what is your opinion on the arbitrator when they discuss the pensions and how it should go? Mr. Brinker is always disagreeing, saying that it's always one way, and I just don't believe that. The city agrees to the arbitrator. What is your opinion on that arbitration?
Well, yeah, it's interesting you bring up arbitration, because in Detroit, that was certainly a big reason why the city ended up in trouble. Actually, Coleman Young, who was a longtime, very liberal mayor of Detroit, when he was in the state legislature in Michigan, helped write Michigan's arbitration law that basically ensured that unions got to go to an arbitrator when they had a dispute over compensation. And it's interesting because Coleman Young later came to regret having played a role in that law, even though he was a liberal and a very big supporter of unions. He believed that what happened was the arbitrators weren't considering the city's ability to pay. I think arbitration is okay as long as the arbitrator is also taking into account whether the city can afford the benefits. I think that's what's critical about arbitration, because ultimately, you can't have the public union strike, and so there has to be a solution when there's an impasse. So I think arbitration can be okay, but you have to make sure the city can afford it. In Detroit, they eventually couldn't afford the benefits that they had.
And Nathan, Bob checked in from Chicagoland. Let me ask you this. What do you see ahead for Chicago fiscally?
I think that Chicago is headed toward bankruptcy within the next 5 to 10 years unless they make a big change. And that would require either pension cuts of some sort or tax increases to pay for the pensions they have, because the pension deficit in Chicago is astronomical, much bigger than Detroit. Now, obviously, Chicago has one thing Detroit did not have, which is a much bigger economy and tax base that they can leverage. So if they're willing to raise the taxes high, they can pay for it in all likelihood. But the problem is that the taxes are already really high in Chicago. And now there is one caveat, which is in Illinois, Chicago is not currently allowed to file for bankruptcy, but that could change someday. And if the state legislature decides to allow struggling municipalities to file for bankruptcy, we could certainly see that happen to Chicago within the next decade, I think.
And we've already seen it. We've seen it in Vallejo, California, in Stockton, California. We've seen financial difficulties in San Bernardino, California. It seems to me, despite the comments from Bob in Chicago, who doesn't like my point of view on public sector unions, which is fine, he's entitled to his opinion, but it seems to me that this recurring problem of pension costs bankrupting cities is a problem. Therefore, these so-called arbitrators are not doing a good job with this.
Yeah, they have a responsibility to make sure that that the cities can afford these pension benefits, because honestly, you remember civics class in elementary school where they teach you that only the federal government can print money. The Constitution says only the federal government can print money. States can't print money and cities can't print money. So ultimately, when the money runs out, someone's got to pay the bill. And eventually the bill will come due. That's the point. We have these huge deficits and we assume that the deficit can just be in perpetuity, can stay there forever. But the reality is at some point you'll have to close that deficit. And in Detroit, it happened in bankruptcy. And I hope that doesn't happen to other big cities like Chicago.
Was there ever a point, Nathan, where the United States could have become involved in Detroit's situation, or was that never on the table?
I'm glad you asked that. In fact, the city of Detroit and the mediators involved in the bankruptcy of Detroit asked President Obama for a bailout multiple times, and Valerie Jarrett, his senior advisor, said no twice, actually, said no to a bailout. Now, her justification was that Congress would never go for it, and I think she's certainly correct in that respect. By 2013, the bailout phase of the government was done. I mean, 2009 was when bailouts were getting handed out. I would actually make the case that if Detroit had gone bankrupt in 2009, they might have gotten a bailout too. But by 2013, we were already sick of bailouts, and that was really not a political possibility. So the president certainly did not pony up for Detroit. Now, he did help provide some money to basically the federal foreclosure funds that were distributed to help cities get, recover from all these foreclosures. They converted some of that money into funds to help demolish abandoned homes in Detroit, which is a big problem. and it's very important to take down those homes. So they helped provide some money in that way, but certainly did not provide a bailout for the city.
And you certainly don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to see that the votes would not have been there for a USA bailout of Detroit in the House of Representatives. No way.
No, there wouldn't have been. Certainly not. The Republicans would have not liked it because of the idea of a bailout. Even the Democrats, I think, would have had a hard time coming up with the votes for this type of thing, because then the question is, if you bail out Detroit, do you bail out everybody else too? And I think that's a reasonable question. So, you know, it would have been a very tough sell. But, you know, but ultimately, if you do walk back the clock to 2009, when General Motors and Chrysler got their bailouts, that was an interesting period, because if you could have portrayed Detroit as having also gone bankrupt for similar reasons, it would have been different, but they could have portrayed it that way. I wonder if they would have gotten a bailout back then. And again, that goes back to the question of tough decisions. I wonder if the city of Detroit had filed for bankruptcy back then, when they were certainly broke at that time too, that they could have gotten some money. But, you know, maybe that would have been a bad solution, because actually Detroit made the tough decisions in bankruptcy that they needed to make to write the books. And ultimately now they have a surplus, which is stunning. And they're reinvesting in the city. So they're hiring police officers and actually starting to tear down these abandoned homes. And, you know, when the city filed for bankruptcy, 40% of the streetlights were out. Now they're all back on. And I think it's a result of this, making the hard decisions and putting the people now before the creditors.
Steve is on the line in Milwaukee. Steve, you're on with Nathan. Go ahead.
Yes, I just have a comment. You know, we went through this in Wisconsin a few years ago, and I the blame for what happened in Detroit and what is about to happen in Illinois, in my opinion, lies squarely at the feet of the unions. Their selfishness and greed. Our governor received death threats because he wanted the union workers to pay 12.5% of their health insurance and contribute 6% of their paychecks every 2 weeks toward their pension, which to me is a very, let's see, a show of hands. How many of you out there in the private sector get such generous benefits? 2/3 of your salary for the rest of your life at 55, and all you have to do is contribute 6%. Just tremendous selfishness and greed by the unions.
You know, and what's interesting here is that in Detroit, what you see is that the average pensioner had a pretty modest pension, $18,000 for your general pensioner, $30,000 for a police or fire. But when you add it up all together, the deficit was really big. And so that's what's so concerning, because I think you're right in many respects that the union leaders are negotiating benefits that the city can't afford. But on the individual pensioner level the benefits might not be that high. Now, there are some exceptions to that. But the point is that, you know, you have to keep an eye on the overall picture, not just look at the individual person, because even if the individual person's not making a lot, what about the overall picture? And so that's where a city is getting a lot of trouble.
Our guest, Nathan Bomey, he is reporting today these days for USA Today. He was lead reporter on Detroit's bankruptcy for the Detroit Free Press, and he has a new book titled Detroit Resurrected to Bankruptcy and Back. We're talking about that topic on Money Talk today. Taking your calls for Nathan at 1-800-934-2221. Next, we go to Hemlock, Michigan. Jack, you were on the line with Nathan. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for your time, Bob. I really enjoy your show. The question I have for Nathan, what's next? What is Detroit going to ask for next? For example, we, the outstate taxpayers, spent I don't know how much money to replace 50,000 streetlights. Now we're going to spend hundreds of millions of dollars on their education system in Detroit, and it's all due to a bunch of corrupt politicians going back to Coleman Young, and Kwame Kilpatrick is just one of many corrupt politicians down there, and it just seems to me the outstate taxpayers end up covering the tribulations of these guys, and it's getting really tiring to see that and to have to spend taxpayer dollars on that sort of thing. It's terrible when you hear some of the stories of the Board of Education members and their limousines and all that foolishness and the corruptness. It's just, the corruption's just terrible. I'm just curious as to where you think we're going.
I think, you know, I'm glad you mentioned the Detroit public school system, because it's really a disaster to see what's happening with the Detroit public schools. And in some ways, it does mirror some of the same challenges and mistakes that the city of Detroit made. To make things clear for your listeners, Bob, the schools in the city of Detroit are run completely independently. So the bankruptcy of the city had nothing to do with the school system. And now we see the school system is facing an epic problem of its own. And what the listener is referring to is that the state legislature in Michigan has recently passed a bill that will basically give the city of Detroit public schools about $600 million to help them dig out of their own debt problem, which is primarily related to actual borrowing that they've done over the years. And so, you know, they've got a huge problem. And I think the issue here is how do we balance the fact that ultimately you're absolutely right that there have been major mistakes made by both the union leaders and the administrators of the public school system. And then also there have been some things that were of nobody's fault. For, you know, ultimately when you see a city go from 2 million people nearly in the 50s to less than 700,000 today, you're going to have massive declines in enrollment, and that's going to lead to huge financial problems. So I don't blame the union leaders or the politicians for everything, but I do think that they have a lot of blame. And the problem is, how do we deal with that when you see that the kids of the city of Detroit are facing these problems? And I don't know what to do about this, because the kids, I think, should be the priority, not the unions and not the creditors. And ultimately, that's not the politicians, not some sort of ideology. How do we restore basic public education in Detroit? Because, you know, frankly, you can do anything you want to the city of Detroit. It's not going to come back unless parents believe they can put their kids back into the school systems in Detroit. And so I think it's a really difficult problem. Unfortunately, I'm not an education policy expert, and I don't know what to do about it. But I know that, you know, debt is not the answer, but neither, and taxes are probably not the answer. But, you know, it's a really complex problem in Detroit, unfortunately, with the school system.
Mike's on the line in Concord, California. Mike, you're on with Nathan. Go ahead.
Thank you, Bob. My question, Nathan, goes back to your earlier comment about the average pension received by folks in Detroit. And I, you know, from experience here in California, oftentimes unions quote an average pension amount that is very misleading, because it includes part-time employees, pensions from people who only worked for 5 or 6 years, as opposed to comparing or reporting pension rates for full-service employees with, say, 30 years of service. So I'd like to question your source of statistics on that. Thank you.
No, I'm glad you mentioned that, because you're absolutely right. There are many people in Detroit and other unions who have ended up gaming the system and helping to basically jack up their pension by, you know, stacking overtime toward the end of their career and that kind of thing, which you've certainly heard about and read about. Sounds like you're very informed on this. And that happened in Detroit as well. In addition, in Detroit, there were the distribution of excessive bonuses to pensioners over the years that was the result of a complex series of decisions I won't bore you with right now. But basically, yes, a lot of pensioners did get actual big bonuses and higher rates than your average person. But on the whole, the average person was not, maybe that was, say, 20% of the pension base. But many folks, including those who retired a long time ago, are not in that kind of, you know, not in the stratosphere. But I think to your point, you know, the issue is, yes, there are individuals. And one piece of good news in Detroit is they actually did change the way these pensions are calculated as a result of this bankruptcy. They can no longer, union members can no longer actually do this type of trick where they get a lot of overtime in the last couple of years of their stay as an employee and thus get a higher pension. That cannot happen anymore, and that's going to help the city of Detroit pensions stay under control.
Nathan, tell our listeners what you would like them to take away from your book.
Well, I honestly think one of the key lessons is that someday the bill is going to come due for cities in America and for our federal government and anyone and companies and individual people who borrow more than they can afford. And it really sounds simple, but ultimately so many of us ignore that very basic principle that, you know, someone will pay the price. And in Detroit, that was the pensioners who had to accept cuts, also got their health care insurance wiped out, and then the bondholders who got their bonds reduced in size as well. But then the good news is that this is a bizarre sort of lesson, but it's It's that, you know, you can't eat principles and uncertainty doesn't pay the bills. This is a slogan that arose from Detroit's bankruptcy by the retirees who ultimately voted to accept cuts because they understood that this would help get Detroit back on its feet. And their slogan was, you can't eat principles, meaning, you know what, we can stand on the principles that we don't deserve to take any cuts, but ultimately we can't eat that. We need the certainty that'll come with accepting a lower payment and getting Detroit back on its feet. Because if Detroit isn't able to pay its bills, eventually there'll be no money to go around. And so uncertainty doesn't pay the bills. You can't fight forever. They accepted cuts, and it helped Detroit get back on its feet. So I'm optimistic, cautiously, about Detroit's future, and it's a fascinating story of just people and, you know, legal fight, financial fight. What happened to the Detroit Institute of Arts? They almost liquidated it. Just fascinating stories that came out of the largest municipal bankruptcy in U.S. history.
Nathan Bomey, our guest, his new book, Detroit Resurrected to Bankruptcy and Back. Nathan, we thank you for your time. Great job, and we wish you continued success.
Thank you so much. Great to be on with you.
This is Money Talk.
Money Talk.
So when we brought him home, we didn't realize that Bear, the rescue dog, was actually sick. He had very flaky skin. He was dropping a lot of fur, and LeVette wanted to do steroid injections, special dog food. Nothing seemed to work. So I've been hearing Dinovite on the radio for years.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
It never actually crossed my mind to try it until I was just at a dead end. And then it finally sunk in. Oh, you're talking about hair and skin. And all right, I'll try it. Well, it took probably 6 weeks, but after we started using Dinovite, no more flaky skin. He doesn't scratch and itch, and he started to put weight on. It was awesome. He makes us feel like we saved him. Every rescue dog in America deserves Dinovite for 90 days. I wish that we would have started the Dinovite right away. It would have been so much easier.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses. And right now, listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/radiotalk. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radiotalk. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/radiotalk.
Guys, are you tired of being tired? Frustrated because it seems impossible to lose belly fat? If you're looking for a solution, then listen to Mark.
I had fantastic results with the Andro 400 Max. Probably lost 35 pounds. And more impressive than that was the inches I lost off of my belly and my waist. And the increased energy is fantastic. I'll be totally honest. I tried a different product, and I wasn't happy with the different product. You guys are considerably cheaper than the other brand, and I can really feel the difference.
Andro 400 Max, the extra strength, all-natural testosterone booster. The safe, easy, and affordable way to gain energy and lose stubborn belly fat. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Feel and look like a new man. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
Hey, it's Jillian, and I want to tell you guys about Northwest Rugs and Furniture. Did you know they've been locally owned for 24 years? They've got the largest selection of rugs on the West Coast, and they pride themselves on having quality rugs and furniture at affordable prices. I should know, I bought a rug about 10 years ago that I still have in my dining room. Northwest Rugs and Furniture has a diverse selection of dining room, bedroom, and living room furniture. There's a huge sale going on right now with 25% off and lowest prices of the season on rugs. Make sure to visit their new store in Sherman Oaks and visit nwrugs.com.
Come on, smile. Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy.
Or maybe he's teething.
Maybe it's just a phase.
Maybe he has autism
and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No Big Joyful Smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
This is Money Talk.
We're back at Money Talk, and we thank our guest, Nathan Bomey, for his time, as well as Detroit Resurrected tells the story of that amazing event. For information on my investment letter, Bob Brinker's Market Timer investment letter, go to bobbrinker.com, request a complimentary bank issue right there. Very easily done. Visit the website homepage. That's bobbrinker.com. Click on the request a complimentary bank issue feature, and that's all there is to it. While you're there, you can check out the information on Money Talk On Demand, because you can stream Money Talk to your computer, download Money Talk to your smartphone, and that is Money Talk On Demand. The investment talk is year-round, and you can listen wherever you go, whenever you like, with Money Talk On Demand on your schedule. Sign up at bobbrinker.com, right there at the Money Talk On Demand logo. Well, have to get back to that Chinese saying, may you live in interesting times, when you think about the week ahead and when you think about the attention that the Brexit vote is going to get. It is going to be really, really something. Before they beam me out of here, let me thank all of our Money Talk Trekkies for cruising with us on the Starship. Our program coordinator, Ravi Chandran, producer Meredith Oakes, technical directors Angel Bordon, and Mr. Bob Mack. Till next time, happy investing, and may the odds be ever in your favor.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Imagine being able to throw away your contacts and glasses. Imagine waking up tomorrow with 20/20 vision. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, guess what? There's a company that agrees with you. The LASIK Vision Institute is now offering dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK to make it affordable for everyone. That means you get the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology for a fraction of what others charge. And if you call right now, we'll schedule a free appointment so you can discover if LASIK is right for you. Results may vary. Call 1-800-400-0484. Even better, if you're one of the first 100 callers, ask about an extra 20% discount off our already low-cost services. We've already performed over 1 million procedures. Let us help you. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you deserve at a fraction of what others charge. For your free appointment, call 1-800-400-0484. 1-800-400-0484.
It's Peter Tillman for Natron's Healthy Trinity. They changed my life, made me feel so much better after my surgery because they're a powerful probiotic. And as I always say, if you got indigestion or gas, get yourself some Natron's Healthy Trinity and see what it can do for you. They were the originators. A lot of other people make promises, but Natron has been delivering for over 35 years. There are also a lot of fly-by-night companies. They're made overseas. They're not shipped refrigerated, so the bacteria in there is not even alive. It's not even going to help you. You need a beneficial probiotic, one that's been tested. As a matter of fact, the term probiotic was introduced by the makers of Natron. It's made right here in the USA. It's gluten-free, recommended by doctors by name, and has a money-back guarantee. You can't do better than that. Here's an amazing offer from my listeners. Call now for your 90-day risk-free trial of Natron's Healthy Trinity. The first 50 callers will get 30 days free with their order, plus free second-day delivery. So call toll-free 866-4-NATRON. That's 866-4 N-A-T-R-E-N, or visit natron.com, enter promo code Peter, and get 30 days free.
News. Talk. Evolve. Your 2016 election headquarters. K-A-A-B-C. HD. Los Angeles. A Cumulus station.
K-A-B-C News, live and local at 12 midnight. It's tomorrow. I'm Dave Alpert. 100 degrees near the beach, power outages, and a brush fire in the heart of L.A. The last day of spring went out like a lion in Southern California. Just some of the record high temperatures recorded Sunday. 103 in Santa Ana, 109 in Burbank and Van Nuys. There was an unofficial reading of 112 in Winnetka. It hit 100 in Long Beach. Sunday's high was 96 at the official.
downtown Los Angeles weather station at USC. At least three sheds were destroyed and two homes were damaged in a fast-moving brush fire Sunday afternoon in Echo Park. Parched landscaping and a big eucalyptus tree caught fire at the interchange of the 2 and 5 freeways. Passersby joined residents in using shovels, buckets, and garden hoses to fight the flames until firefighters arrived. Not a good idea, according to LA City Fire's Rick Scott.
Some individuals were out there trying to protect their own property with garden hoses, as we can understand their desire to do so. However, when the flames are getting close, a garden hose is, one, not going to do anything, and two, will put those individuals in danger. So really, when the flames get close to those homes, firefighters want those individuals to evacuate.
It took firefighters 2 hours to put the fire out. Scattered power outages were reported across Southern California as temperatures approached 115 in some areas. Maybe the biggest outage was in the Studio City area, where nearly 1,200 customers lost power Sunday afternoon. In Brea, some 1,600 homes were also blacked out, according to SoCal Edison. The hot weather will cause electricity supplies to tighten on Monday, and operators of the state energy grid are declaring a flex alert. They are asking us to turn off lights, postpone doing laundry, and turn the thermostat up to above 78 between 10 a.m. and 9 p.m. Thousands of people gathered last night in Orlando for a vigil to the victims of the massacre at the nightclub. According to correspondent Ed Lavendera,
as many as 50,000 people are here. And this is just a little lake on the edge of downtown Orlando. So many people that they can't even get into this atrium, this area that we're in right here. They're just surrounding the lake. It is a massive crowd.
At the end of the vigil, the names of the victims were read, followed by a moment of silence. The conversations police had with a gunman during the Orlando mass shooting will be made public. U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch says limited transcripts of the 3911 calls made by Omar Mateen will be released later today. Now Talk Radio 790 KABC Sports. The Cleveland Cavaliers are NBA champions. The Cavs completed their comeback from a 3-1 series deficit with a 93-89 win over the Warriors in Game 7 of the NBA Finals. Jared Weaver pitched a three-hitter, leading the Angels to a 2-0 shutout of the A's in Oakland. And the Dodgers beat the Brewers 2-1. KABC Dependable Traffic. We have another brush fire in Echo Park and the center divider of the 2 southbound at Glendale.